Welcome to Performance Day's Functional Fabric Fair podcast. You are listening to a sustainability presentation from November 2015. Mr. Philip Scar, Head of Global Sustainable Branding Solutions of Avery Dennison, presents The Influence of Sustainability on Innovation.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining the presentation and avoiding the queue over there in the lunch room. We're going to talk about the influence of sustainability into innovation. 1 year ago, I would never have dreamed that I would stand here in front of you and having this presentation. 1 year ago, I was heading up the innovation team, the global innovation team for Avery Dennison, for permanent branding solutions. And yes, I was into sustainability. I got it. I mean, I was recycling. I was switching off the lights. I was switching off the water when I was shaving myself. But I didn't really understand the connections. I mean, 1 year ago, I didn't know a lot of things, especially when it came to sustainability. Which was a good thing, honestly, because it gave me the opportunity to look at things differently once I understood them. It actually allowed me to get into the audience that we have to talk to internally and externally when we talk about sustainability. So what I'm going to do in the next 30 minutes is... Well, let's start what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to give you a handbook or a checklist on how to innovate in a sustainable way. No, that's not what I'm going to do, because 30 minutes won't be enough time anyway. What I'm going to do is share with you some discussion points, some insights on how we at Avery Dennison look at sustainable innovation. And share with you not only a professional journey that I've been doing in the last year, but also a personal journey as a not knowing person, and not knowing about sustainability. Sustainability is this, sounds like a buzzword right now, right? Everybody's talking about sustainability. If you go in a supermarket, everything is bio. You get bio bread, bio yogurt, bio toothbrush. Sustainability, what does sustainability actually mean? What does sustainability mean to you? What does sustainability mean to you, for example?
For me, sustainability means acting in a way that also the kids of our kids have the possibility to live on this planet and take their own choices.
Okay, thank you very much. For you, sir, would you mind sharing what does sustainability mean to you and how do you apply it?
To take care about the environment, generally.
Okay, yeah. Somebody else wants to share a view? Okay, yes, please, thank you.
Sustain nature in the first place,
right?
Rather than other systems, because sustaining means just sustaining something. So we have to know what we want to sustain.
Yes. We want to know what we want to sustain. How can we actually measure it? What is more sustainable than something else? Is there a way to measure it?
The outcome. The outcome. If the outcome is destruction from an intelligent system, which is nature, then that's not what I would like to sustain.
Okay. Is sustainability a science? Is there a unique way of looking into sustainability? I don't think so. We are yet there. I mean, there is not yet a way of measuring sustainability in an absolute way. It's not always 1 + 1 is not always 2 in sustainability. There are so many influences that we have to take care about. So we have had 4 points of view now, private points of view. In the industry, the challenge is that there is no standards. There's a lot of organizations working on global standards, which is great, but it makes it really difficult to make a choice. What is more sustainable to the other ones? Anne and Benjamin, they had had a wonderful presentation before showing the different fibers, different materials, one more sustainable than another one with the ups and with the downs, right? So there's no critic science. Before, when we talk about innovation in sustainability, we have to ask ourselves, what are the key drivers for sustainability? Why sustainability? And I think there are four main drivers right now. And I appreciate this is not an exhaustive list. These are, to me, it is the macro trends that are currently going on, so the big environment. What are the consumers asking for? What are the consumers looking for when it comes to sustainability? What are our partners looking for? We are a business-to-business company. We are providing branding solutions and packaging solutions to the industry. So the things that you see in the shop might have our branding solutions there. So we have to help our partners to get sustainable, to reach their sustainability goals. Last but not least, what are our beliefs? What are our aspirations in terms of sustainability? So let's start with the macro trends, okay? To me, there are three macro trends. And unfortunately, we have to start with bad news. There are more people alive today that ever have died. More people alive today that have ever died. The United Nations, have estimated by 2050, 9.7 billion people on Earth. I think it goes without saying that if we continue current behaviors, it's not going to be sustainable. I'm trying to avoid the word sustainable, but it's so difficult, actually. It's not going to be sustainable. There, we will have resource constraints. And it's not me saying that. It's the World Economic Forum. They have identified earlier this year that the water crisis is the risk number one in the next decade. So we have to do something about that, right? We have to change our buying behaviors. We have to change our consumption behaviors. Circular economy, wonderful. Abundance without waste. The generation Y, so the millennials and the aspirational consumers, they don't want to go into compromises. They don't like compromises. I don't like compromises. I want to consume. I want to have things. But I don't want to waste things. I don't want to leave traces of where I've been on this planet. I don't want to do this. I have two kids. I'm not taking that responsibility, I mean. Right? So this is the population part. It's not only the influence of that huge amount of population has in future generations. It's also, we have to worry on how we are going to treat those 9.7 billion people. Compliance, fair trade. And actually, the slide, the title of the slide, trend, is actually not 100% true, because this is not a trend. This is something that has to happen. Unfortunately, still today, in 2015, every 15 seconds, there's a work-related death. 15 seconds. So somebody just died again. Today, in 2015, still in the textile industry, 170 million children are working. I think we should change something here, right? And in 2009, the HBR, the Harvard Business Review, identified already the key driver for innovation is going to be sustainability. What great news. Compliance is the key opportunity according to the Harvard Business Review. So it's not a trend. This has been going on for a while, but we probably have to change the message. We have to sexify the message. We have to get to a bigger audience. And that's the good news. The third macro trend, so we had the population aspect, we have the compliance aspect, the fair trade aspect. The third good news, finally a good news, is that we get help. More and more celebrities are helping us to get the message to the bigger crowd. You can't see that very well. There's a rapper called Prince EA, who has done a fabulous video. Check that one out on YouTube. So we get help. The sustainability crowd gets help from celebrities. The second one is humor. When I was at sustainable presentations in the past, normally I got away a little bit depressed. I needed some glass of wine after that, because they made you feel so guilty. It was always, hey, oh yeah, you did that and you did this and it's all your fault. And okay, let's change that behavior. I mean, I've been San Diego earlier this year at the Sustainable Brands Conference. What a great event! It wasn't anymore that crowd of vegans driving Priuses, and it was fun. We were celebrating the success stories. With humor. Who of you has seen the Rainforest Alliance video, Follow the Frog? So anybody seen it? Check that one out. It's really funny. It's a Monday morning video. It brings you in a good mood. It's really well done. It's humor. The message gets through. I don't want to say that we have to celebrate about the things. I'm not saying that we have to hide certain facts. I mean, the rainforest goes down. It's a fact, but let's get the message in a different way through. The last one, and this picture here was one of the first green cars. It was the fabulous Honda Insight, a really sexy car for those who are riding bicycles on an everyday basis. The big trend, the big change, the big shift that is happening right now is that the consumer of the new millennial is not, they don't like compromises. Let's not forget that these cars, these green cars in the past, were built by people who actually wanted to get rid of them. And this is how they looked like. Nobody yet has mentioned Tesla, and normally in sustainable presentations, there are at least five times somebody's mentioning Tesla. But that's the best example, because Tesla, they didn't want to go into compromises. The ones who built Teslas, they love cars, they love the speed, they love the thrill. But they also love the environment, so no compromises. Now, these are the macro trends. Let's shift the gears and see what actually the consumer is thinking about sustainability. We have done a study a couple of years ago. We wanted to know how our branding solutions, or not our branding solutions, the labels, the tags that you see on your shirts, how they actually influence the purchasing behavior of consumers. Because let's be honest, it's the first thing that you normally cut out is the washing label. And the first thing that you throw away is the packaging. That's what we do. So, but we wanted to know how sustainability actually influences the purchasing behavior. And we got really interesting insights that I would like to share with you. So first of all, there's a big shift. In the past, there was the consumer was focused on the materials. So on what is something made out of. There's a shift now. It's not only the what anymore, it's getting wider. The lens is getting bigger. We care about how something is made. Of course, there is a material aspect to that, but it's also, is this garment made in a factory where children work? Are they looking after the bigger environment of the garment? The second insight, which probably won't be a surprise, is that there are regional differences. In Europe, we are very well aware of sustainability, and we shouldn't take that for granted. In the States, unfortunately, still one consumer out of two are not really interested in that topic. On the other hand, very surprisingly, in Asia, they're more aware or they're more sensitive about sustainable garments and sustainability, generally speaking, than in Europe. At first sight, it's actually surprising. If you think about it, people in Asia are actually directly impacted by the outcomes of a non-sustainable economy or ways of manufacturing garments. The power of sustainability has also an impact on what consumers actually expect from brands. So 88% of the consumers, they actually expect brands to do something. It's always easier. Hey, you have to do something. On top of this, almost 3 consumers out of 4, they are saying, hey, brand, you know what? Actually, you should do something. And if you don't, I actually will change my buying behavior. I won't buy from you anymore. And now comes the really good news. Because 9 out of those 10 consumers are actually willing to pay more for a garment that is made in a sustainable way. I think there was a belief in the past that sustainability should be a gimmick. It's a feature for free. So it's not a business, it's an attribute. That's not anymore. Sustainability is actually a business now because people are willing to pay more. And I think this is really great news that came out of that study. The third key driver for sustainable innovation is actually the commitments of our partners. I said earlier, we are a business-to-business company, so we have to help our customers, which are the brands, to reach their sustainability goals. Today, a consumer has a choice. They can make a conscious purchasing decision based on price, quality, brand appeal, country of origin, but there's no way right now that a consumer is able to do a conscious buying decision based on sustainable aspects. Good news is, not yet. Avery Dennison is working with many, many others, with many brands, on an index that actually allows the consumer to make a more conscious decision. That index is called Higg Index, which the approach is similar to when you buy a washing machine, where you basically can rate, okay, I want to have a high energy bill or low energy bill based on your purchasing decision. Probably the one with a very high energy consumption will cost a little bit less. With the A rating probably will cost a little bit more, but you get certain features out of that. So we are working on an index that allows a consumer to make a similar decision. Last but not least, we consider ourselves a leader in the industry, and we have all our beliefs, we have our commitments. 2 weeks ago, we have issued our 2015 sustainability report, which not only shows the progress that we have made in the past, yes, but also reveals on how we want to contribute to sustainability in the company with our 2025 goals. And I'm actually really excited about this now. We have had great goals in the past. We wanted to do better. These goals from the past weren't actually scientifically, weren't science-based or context-based. We just wanted to do better because there was no way to measure things. Now we have been working on our goals in a way with NGOs, with non-governmental organizations, in order to make sense to, we try to reach a purpose through our goals. So take, for example, the greenhouse gas emissions. We are trying to reduce the greenhouse gas emissions by 3% year over year, which in total is 26%. And this is totally in line with the WWF 3% project. So it's not Avery that says, hey, this is good for the Earth. It's actually somebody else that says, hey, if you reach that, then you have an impact on something. The same goes for our paper goals. We want to purchase all our papers. They should be 100% certified. We want to know where they come from. We want to know the story about the origin of these papers. We are collaborating with the FSC, the Forest Stewardship. FSC, you know what FSC means. Because they have a good story, but we don't commit to 100% FSC because there are other organizations that have great goals. And on top of this, we might not use only wood pulp-based papers. The heart of our sustainability goals are actually the products and solutions, which are made out of paper, out of chemicals, out of yarns. It's the way how we produce, so the whole waste aspect. It's about the circular economy, what happens to the product afterwards. And on top of this, we want to do this in a very transparent way, because otherwise it's useless. If you do your things and you say, yes, we have been more sustainable, yes, by how much? So we are transparent about our goals. We want to share those, and we have actually key performance indicators that prove our progress. Or maybe in 2025 we can say, all right, we've tried hard, we haven't achieved it, but this is what's missing. At least we can measure it. My background is innovation. So whenever you have a brainstorming session and whenever you try to innovate, the best outcome is when you have limitations. Put a sandbox around your goals and you get most out of it. So this is what we have done with our guiding principles. This is our sandbox for sustainable innovation. 8 simple guidelines. So, for example, whatever we do, shouldn't pollute with extracted materials. Or on the other side, we want to create shared value for our customers and our value chains. So these 8 guiding principles actually are backed up with 21 key performance indicators that help us to see if we are on track on these goals or not. Don't want to bore you with that. You will find that if you're really interested in our sustainability report on our website. What probably is more interesting for you is how we are going to execute, how are we going to make these goals happen, and especially on the products and material solution, because that's the tangible aspect of the product. So what are we innovating in order to get more sustainability? Of course, the materials and the products. So the fibers. Are we going to use a organic fiber or a fiber based on fossils? Or are we going to use recycled fibers? These are all decisions that you have to do. What about the yarns, the inks? What about the adhesives that you're going to use? The second aspect is the process. How are we actually producing labels, packaging, and branding solutions, generally speaking? There are life cycle, raw material life cycle analysis on each of these materials, but there's not a whole, a whole lot of knowledge about how you actually get to these results. So we are working, we are investing a lot of money into life cycle analysis to see what is the best possible process in order to achieve a certain result. If I want a woven label, which kind of weaving process should I use? If I want to have a care and content label, what is the best printing process? Which is the most sustainable site? Where, if I want to focus on sustainability, which is the site? Is the site in Penyu, or is it the site in Germany, or in Switzerland, in Italy? We are investigating on this in order to make conscious decision of what we offer to our customers and also what we want to promote internally. Last but not least, it's really important to understand that whenever we ship a label to a factory, to an RBO, to a brand, yes, the life cycle of that product ends for us. But a new life cycle starts because somebody has to apply that label onto a garment. Let's take a heat transfer, the numbers or a sponsor logo. Maybe the logo itself, the inks inside the logo don't have a huge sustainable impact, but what if we reduce the application temperature so the factory can actually use less energy in order to apply that? So these are all thinking processes that we are taking into consideration when we are going through our innovation process, when we are going through our business cases and trying to launch a product. We can't innovate in isolation. We don't know everything. And there are many individuals like me who don't know anything about, who used to know very little about innovation, about sustainability. So we use our partnerships. We use partnerships. Partnerships are upstream and downstream. So with the with customers, with suppliers. And very recently, we have been collaborating with a very influential new young designer, a halo brand, which is called Christopher Rayburn. And I would like to show you a quick snapshot of that collaboration. So I think what's important from this video is not so much about, I mean, it's the partnership itself. But what this video proves is actually there is a need for sexification of sustainability. And Christopher Rayburn has helped us to sexify sustainability because he has proven that you can get really nice brand embellishments also with sustainable materials. This goes back to my initial comment about no compromises. When we talk about compromises and when we talk about sustainability, it's really important to avoid greenwashing. What greenwashing does is actually making a statement without any foundation. Everybody can say, yes. Oh, yeah, you know, this is more sustainable than that. You go on YouTube and say, oh, yeah, this is more sustainable. And probably some people would even believe it. But you have to prove it. Sustainability, what sustainability needs or what the industry right now needs is trust. We have to trust partners. We have to trust whatever we have to prove whatever we are putting on clothes or whatever we sell, actually, whatever we purchase. So in order to we are investing a lot of time and money in order to get these certifications right. And we have developed internally a tool that allows us to make conscious decisions, material-based decisions. So this tool is also very useful for the Higg Index, for example, because this is what it all it's all about, is to make a conscious decision about what is in a what is included in a garment or not. Because let's not forget, a sustainable solution shouldn't differ in any way from a non-sustainable solution in terms of the appearance. In theory, you shouldn't be able to say, hey, this one is made out of sustainable material or this one is made out of sustainable. You shouldn't see the difference, ideally. We want the same performance, appealing for performance as a non-sustainable solution. The other important thing is that these facts that you get out of life cycle analysis tools and these numbers are really important to sell sustainable innovation and solutions internally, because it's also a fight internally in order to get a new innovation through, but also externally. And these facts actually will help people like myself, or people, the non-believers, the believers but not understanders, the not paying attention to convince that even small changes in a material choice, in a process choice, might have a huge impact. I wanted to tell you this little story, this little presentation, to share with you how we in our company, in our labs, in our kitchens, how we treat sustainability, but also what I have learned in this last year. And I'm very fortunate that I still don't know a lot, because I can still be very critical and very open-minded to new things. We never should think that we know everything, and there are always new, especially in sustainability, there are always new ways of treating things, and there are always new methodologies in order to achieve a better world. Thank you very much for your attention, and I hope I was able to share with you some insights that are useful for you and help to promote sustainable solutions internally, but also to make sustainability a little bit more, to create a little bit more awareness around sustainability. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to Performance Day's Functional Fabric Fair podcast. To get your free ticket for the next fair or listen to other presentations, go to www.performancedays.eu. Copyright 2015 by Design and Development GmbH Textile Consult. All rights are reserved.